Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, 1st April 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Well, let's test it. Is that too loud? Is that too loud or okay? Is it okay? Okay. All right, I know you all know what day it is, April 1st. April Fool's Day. My mom and dad, when they got married, they wanted to get married on Easter. They did. They got married on Easter, and that year, Easter fell on April 1st. Their anniversary was not on Easter again for 30 years. But it was always on April 1st. And my dad, he thought that was the funniest thing ever. So their anniversary every year was April Fool's Day. But they got married on Easter. And they only had celebrated their anniversary on Easter about two times. All right. Well, there's one other thing on April Fool's. When my sons were little shavers, they were still in bed sleeping, and I yelled up, "Derek, Dave, get down here. There's a green flying dog in the yard." They came running down full speed and looking out. And I said, "April Fool's. You know what? They are a lot older now. They got their own family, but they're both brain damaged." So I think I could say the same thing, and they still run down and look for that green flying dog. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word." And therefore, open the Word of God to, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Come on in, fellas. 2 Corinthians 9. The last few months we have studied the two greatest chapters in the Word of God that teach the doctrine of grace giving and what grace giving is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We finished that last week, but we're going to pull it all together tonight. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have completed our study of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And these are the two greatest chapters in all of the Word of God that explains and defines and teaches the doctrine of grace giving. So let's pull this all together, and tonight we're going to have the doctrine of grace giving. The doctrine of grace giving. Going to pull it all together. We've been teaching that for at least a year, those two chapters. Now we pull it together. Point one is definition. Subpoint one, grace giving is an expression of worship, an expression of worship to commemorate the grace policy of God. Grace giving is an expression of worship to commemorate the grace policy of God. Our God is a God of grace. His policy is grace. Salvation is by grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace. Spirituality is by grace. God's plan and policy is a grace policy. And therefore, grace giving is an expression of worship to commemorate the grace policy of God. Two, grace giving is the legitimate function of the believer's royal priesthood in worship, both inside and outside of the local church. So grace giving is the legitimate function of the believer's royal priesthood in worship, both inside and outside of the local church. Now, we live in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. It will conclude at the rapture. In this dispensation, every believer is a priest. Totally different than the age of Israel. In the age of Israel, you had to be of the tribe of Levi. It was a specialized priesthood in the age of Israel. You had to be of the tribe of Levi, and the sacrifices were animal sacrifices. And those animal sacrifices were types. They foreshadowed the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, coming and going to the cross and solving the world problem of sin. That's what they pictured. So once Jesus Christ came at the first advent, went to the cross as the Lamb of God, solved the world problem of sin by his work on the cross, then there's no more need for animal sacrifices anymore. So in the age of Israel, specialized priesthood, you had to be from the tribe of Levi, and the sacrifices were animal sacrifices. Now Jesus Christ has come, first advent, went to the cross, solved the world problem of sin. And in this dispensation, not a specialized priesthood, a universal priesthood. We are all priests. We are the universal priesthood of the church age. Every one of you in here, you're a priest, 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 priest. You're all priests. Universal priesthood of the believer in the church age. But we don't present animal sacrifices. The sacrifices we offer are spiritual sacrifices, and we're going to see those in a moment here. But I wanted to make this very clear. We have in the church age the universal priesthood of the believer, and our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, grace giving is the legitimate function of the believer's royal priesthood in worship, both inside and outside of the local church. Three, grace giving is one of the four categories of Christian service as a part of divine good production in your life. Grace giving is one of the four categories of Christian service as divine good production in your life, and divine good production honors and glorifies God to the maximum. So what are those four categories of Christian service? Category number one, Christian service related to your spiritual gift. And every one of you has been given a spiritual gift by God the Holy Spirit. At the moment of your salvation, at the moment of your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit gave every one of you a spiritual gift. And that puts you on the team. We're in the body of Christ. We're on the same team. And those spiritual gifts, no matter what they are, they're all very, very important. Now you say, well, Pastor Olson, you have a spiritual gift of pastor teacher. That's important. Your gifts, every one of you, your gift is very important. And my gift can't even operate unless we all have our gifts work together as a team. We're all in the body of Christ, and we work together as a team. All of our gifts are very important. Your gift is very, very, very important. And so, first of all, Christian service, category one, is related to your spiritual gift. And you all have a spiritual gift. Category number two, Christian service is related to your royal priesthood. We are living in the church age. The universal priesthood of the believer in the church age. So Christian service is related to your royal priesthood. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And why? What do we offer? To offer up not animal sacrifices, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now look down at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now I want you to turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 15. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 15. Verse 15. Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So here's one of the spiritual sacrifices, your prayers to the Father in praise to Him. And then he explains what he means by this spiritual sacrifice. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. When it says thanks to His name, that's thanks to God for who and what He is, for His essence, for His attributes. And you offer a spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God for who and what He is, His essence and His person. That's one of the spiritual sacrifices. And then, verse 16, and do not neglect doing good, divine good production, that's a spiritual sacrifice. And grace giving, that is a spiritual sacrifice. For with such sacrifices, that is thanks to God for who and what He is, divine good production and grace giving, such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we are all priests, the universal priesthood of the church age believer, and we offer spiritual sacrifices, and here are some of those spiritual sacrifices. So category number one in our Christian service related to your spiritual gift. Category number two, Christian service related to your royal priesthood. Category number three, Christian service related to your royal ambassadorship. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And so there's Christian service related to your royal ambassadorship, and that includes evangelism, giving the grace gospel to unbelievers, witnessing for Christ, and always as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, God will open doors for you. And you'll know. You will know when God opens a door and giving you the opportunity to give the grace gospel to an unbeliever. And it's so neat to see that. But you always are ready. You're always ready for when God opens that door, and then you just know, oh, this, I get to fulfill my royal ambassadorship and present the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to this person. So there's evangelism, there's witnessing for Christ. There is also, if your spiritual gift is administration, it includes administration in the local church, like the deacons. It includes also being a missionary and functioning on the mission field. It includes also functioning in a Christian service organization. All of that is a part of your royal ambassadorship, category number three. And category number four, Christian service related to the laws of divine establishment. And that includes military service, law enforcement, and even government. Category number four. So again, point one, grace giving is an expression of worship to commemorate the grace policy of God. Two, grace giving is the legitimate function of the believer's royal priesthood. Third, grace giving is one of the four categories of Christian service as divine good production. And now four, grace giving is the presentation of money or other valuable commodities which may be used in sustaining the ministry of Bible teaching, the teaching of the Word of God. Grace giving is the presentation of money or other valuable commodities which may be used in sustaining the ministry of the teaching of the Word of God. Five, grace giving may be extended to organizations other than the local church, such as to missionary organizations or to Bible schools. So grace giving may be extended to organizations other than a local church, such as missionary organizations or Bible schools. Six, grace giving is designed to support the communication gifts. That includes the gift of pastor-teacher, and the gift of evangelism. So grace giving is designed to support the communication spiritual gifts. Spiritual gift of pastor teacher, spiritual gift of evangelism. 7. Grace giving is the means of manifesting teamwork and coordination into the body of Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. At the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes and the baptism of the Spirit enters us into union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. So we're entered into union with Christ, making up the body of Christ in the church age. And so grace giving is the means of manifesting teamwork and coordination, working together as a team in the body of Christ to honor and glorify our Lord to the maximum. We are here to glorify God to the maximum in the short time while we're here. So that's point one, definition. Point two, motivation. Motivation for grace giving. Let's amplify that. Subpoint one, motivation is the major issue in grace giving. Not the amount that you give. That's not it at all. Motivation is the major issue in grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, each one, just as he has determined in his heart, and the heart here is up here, not down here, the pump. The pump doesn't do any thinking. It's the heart is up here. The cardia, the heart, and that's the target of the Word of God. As the Word of God is taught, the target is for you to learn it and believe it. And when you believe it, it goes into your heart and it becomes wisdom. And once it's wisdom, now you can apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. So 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one of you, just as he has determined in his heart, that is, just as you have been motivated in your heart, so give, not reluctantly, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion or pressure, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. God loves a grace-oriented giver. So motivation is the major issue in grace giving, not the amount that's given. In fact, if you have the right mental attitude, you may not be able to give anything. But you have given because you have the great mental attitude of wanting to give, just that right now, you're not able to. No problem. You've already given with your mental attitude. You've given to the Lord. And you give to the Lord first, and then He'll provide for you at the right time so you can give to others. Subpoint two. The motivation for grace giving comes from God the Holy Spirit and the absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. That is called wisdom. Wisdom. When you learn the Word of God and believe the Word of God, it goes into your heart. It's now wisdom, Sophia in the Greek, Chokma in the Hebrew. And now through the filling of the Spirit, you can apply it skillfully and accurately to your own life. So motivation for grace giving comes from God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. You see, we're given a command. We have been given in the church age a unique spiritual life. A unique spiritual life. God has given all of us a unique spiritual life. In this dispensation, and only in this dispensation, every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Divine power universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells all of you in your body. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. That's the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. So you can fulfill the mandate. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature. Both of those are commands in the imperative mood. It's a mandate for you to live the spiritual life by divine power, the power of the Spirit of God. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands divine power to live it. And that power is God the Holy Spirit. Unique to this dispensation, the church age. The unique spiritual life and the living the life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. So motivation for grace giving comes from God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and that Word of God that you've learned and believed becomes wisdom that is in your heart. Subpoint three, God provides and enjoys the mental attitude which accompanies grace giving. God provides and enjoys the mental attitude which accompanies grace giving. Subpoint four. God loves grace-oriented giving. God loves grace-oriented giving. And that means don't ever give emotionally. Don't give emotionally and don't give impulsively. You determine in your own heart what to give. And let God the Holy Spirit motivate you. Let the Word of God motivate you. And you determine in your own heart. Subpoint five. God graciously provides extra finances for grace givers to manifest grace giving. God graciously provides extra finances for grace givers to manifest grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, which says, and God is able. Well, he ought to be able. He's the omnipotent God. And as the omnipotent God, he is strong enough, obviously. And God is able, as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good work. And in the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that good work is grace giving. So God is able, as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good work, i.e., grace giving. Subpoint six. The only legitimate system of giving in the Word of God, the only legitimate system of giving is grace giver giving in grace to a grace cause. The only legitimate system of giving is a grace giver giving in grace to a grace cause. Seven, God's grace righteousness, virtue righteousness, grace righteousness, meets at the point of grace giving. God's grace righteousness meets at the point of grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 9. Just as it stands written, quoting Psalm 112, verse 9, He, God, has given generously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, His grace virtue abides forever. Now God graciously provides the finances, the money to believers, both the rich and to the poor, the destitute. Great illustration of that was the Macedonians and the Philippians and Philippi. They were very destitute. They weren't wealthy at all. They were very destitute. But they had grown up under the ministry of the Apostle Paul to spiritual maturity. They had attained spiritual maturity. They had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They had personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivated impersonal love for all mankind, and they had occupation with Jesus Christ. They grew up in grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They totally understood grace giving, and even though they were, many of them, destitute and poor, they supported the Apostle Paul all over the Roman Empire in his communication of the Word of God. They did. Now the Corinthians were wealthy, and Paul didn't take one cent from them. But here were the Macedonians and Philippi, and they totally, as winner believers and grace-oriented believers, they sent offerings to Paul again and again and again as he went all over the Roman Empire proclaiming the grace gospel and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. Subpoint 8. God supplies and gives extra money to grace givers. God supplies and gives extra money to grace givers. And as a result, there is an increase in the harvest of your Christian service. God supplies and gives extra money to grace givers. And as a result, there is an increase in the harvest of your Christian service. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 says, Now He, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed, and the seed represents money, to the sower, and the sower is the believer, and graciously provides bread, that's logistical grace, temporal security for the purpose of eating. And that is God gives the addition of money for the necessities of life, logistical grace, blessing, and support. And at the same time, He, God the Father, multiplies your seed, your money, for grace giving, and even increases and enlarges the harvest of your grace righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. And then Paul goes on, 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12. In everything you are made rich by God for all generosity in grace giving, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Because the ministry of this sacred service of grace giving is not only filling up the deficiency, the need of the saints, but This grace giving is also overflowing, superabounding through many thanksgivings to God. So subpoint 9. Grace orientation. First there must be grace orientation in your soul. That, when you have grace orientation in your soul, that's the basis for grace giving. You see, God has given us the mandate in 2 Peter 3:18. This is a command. This isn't an option. This is a command to all of you. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in grace. Grow up in grace orientation and knowledge. Grow up in doctrinal orientation. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now you have maximum grace orientation in your soul, and grace orientation, that comes first, and that is the basis for all grace giving. All right, point three, the doctrinal principles of grace giving. Point three, the doctrinal principles of grace giving. So point one, grace giving is an expression of the royal family honor code. We are royal family of God. As a result, in the church age, in the Old Testament, at regeneration and faith in Christ, they were family of God. But we live in the church age, unique dispensation. And when we believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes us and enters us into union with Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So we're in union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and we are royal family of God. In the Old Testament, they were family of God. We are royal family of God because of the baptism of the Spirit. We are in union with the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. And that means we are royal family of God, and God has an honor code for us. The royal family honor code. And grace giving is an expression of the royal family honor code. Romans 16:26, which says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have decided with pleasure to make a special offering to the poor believers who are in Jerusalem." Romans 16:26. And then in Galatians 2:10, "They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do." Galatians 2:10. So a principle, grace giving is from God. Grace giving is from God. Socialism is from man. Socialism is from man, but grace giving is from God. Two, subpoint two. Grace giving is an expression from your free will. Your free will. Without gimmicks. No gimmicks and no coercion. No coercion. It has to be something from your own free will. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3. "I testify on the basis of their ability and beyond their ability that they gave willingly." That's the key. Grace giving, it has to be free will all the way. Willingly. Not coercion. Not being forced into it. So grace giving is an expression of your free will. "I testify on the basis of their ability and beyond their ability. They gave willingly. Their giving was a sign of their spiritual growth, that they had grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Subpoint three. Grace giving is an expression of mental attitude in every circumstance of life. Grace giving is an expression of mental attitude in every circumstance of life. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, which says that in the midst of severe testing and great pressure, the superabundance of their happiness and their deep poverty overflowed in rich generosity. How about that? That in the midst of severe testing and great pressure, the superabundance of their happiness and their deep poverty overflowed in rich generosity. Even though they were under great adversity and pressure, they were still mature believers who had self-contained happiness in their soul. They shared the happiness of God. When you attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you have occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is plus eight. You share the happiness of God. And having that mental attitude, they gave in grace, even when they were in deep poverty. Subpoint four. Grace giving must express an attitude toward the Lord first. Grace giving must express an attitude toward the Lord first before it can express an attitude toward others. Grace giving must express an attitude toward the Lord before it can express an attitude toward others. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. And not even as we anticipated, but they gave first of themselves to the Lord. That's first. Not even as we anticipated, but they gave first of all themselves to the Lord. Then they gave to us by the will of God. They had great virtue love, great personal love for God the Father, great impersonal love for all, great occupation with Christ, and that motivated their grace giving. Subpoint five. Grace giving is the result of consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God. Aletheia. The absolute truth of the Word of God. So grace giving is the result. It's a result of consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God. Aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. But just as you excel in everything, namely, in faith rest, the faith life, and in the Word of God, and in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in virtue love, from you to us, see that you also excel in this grace giving. So grace giving is the result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Subpoint six. The precedence for grace giving is the Lord Jesus Christ's grace gift of His salvation work on the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The precedence for grace giving is the Lord Jesus Christ's grace gift of His salvation work on the cross. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, that is, eternal God, He was, even though He is the eternal God, yet for your sake, He became poor. He took on true humanity so He could go to a cross and pay the penalty for all of your sins. So that you, through His poverty, being judged for our sins on the cross, so that you might become rich, eternal salvation by faith in Christ. So the precedent for grace giving is the Lord Jesus Christ's grace gift of His salvation work on the cross, 2 Corinthians 8:9. 7. Willingness is the key for grace giving, even when you have nothing to give. Willingness is the key to grace giving, even when you have nothing to give. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, which says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable on the basis of what one has, not on the basis of what one does not have." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable on the basis of what one has, not on the basis of what one does not have." And the great illustration of this is that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here at the first Advent, and He witnessed a widow, and she gave 2 pennies. She gave 2 pennies. There were a bunch of religious Pharisees there, and they were putting in lots of money in the pot. And the widow only gave 2 pennies. But it was all she had. She gave everything she had, and it was just 2 pennies. And Jesus Christ said, "I declare to you, this widow gave more by far than all those religious people that have put in all the money in the pot. She gave everything she had because she loved Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And she knew that the Lord would provide for her and take care of her. She totally had maximum confidence in the Lord because she loved Him, she knew Him, and He always provided for her. And she gave the last 2 pennies she had on that occasion." And Jesus Christ said, "She gave way more than all of you religious people." Willingness counts for grace giving, even when you have nothing to give. Subpoint 8. Grace giving is related to motivation. From the absolute truth of the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. Grace giving is related to motivation from the absolute truth, the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. Nine, God in His matchless grace provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. God in His matchless grace provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. Ten, God in His matchless grace provides both the monetary capital for grace giving and makes it a part of your Christian service. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the monetary capital for grace giving and makes it a part of your Christian service. Eleven, generosity of mental attitude results in generosity of grace giving. Generosity of mental attitude results in generosity of grace giving. Grace giving is never, ever, ever a strain. The spiritually mature believer that's grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the spiritually mature believer that has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he loves to give in grace. He loves to give in grace. He wants to give in grace. I can't tell you how many times Deb and I, we go, we have a few restaurants we love to go to, and the people there are fantastic. They all know that I'm a pastor. We've given the gospel booklet to all the people that are there. They know I'm a pastor, and as soon as we get there, I will take and give a special tip to our waiter, and he says, "Oh, you don't have to do that." I said, "I know that. I know I don't have to." See, the difference is I want to. I want to. And actually, it makes my heart happy when I can do that. So enjoy. And we went to a restaurant we used to go to years ago. And for various situations and circumstances, we stopped going there. Well, they sold it to some new other people. And Deb and I went back and thought we'd just check it out. And they have a New Zealand orange roughy. New Zealand orange roughy. I mean, it's to die for. I didn't die, but it's to die for. And I used to order that before when we used to, and I ordered that New Zealand orange roughy, but our waitress name was Nicole, and as soon as she came up, I said, "This is for you, Nicole. This is your tip before we ever get started." Right off the bat, "Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to do it." I know, but don't make me cry. I said, "I want to do that." And then anybody that helped out, and even I said, "Is this New Zealand orange roughy as good as it used to be years?" She says, "It's better." I said, "Who are the men that are going to be making this?" Those two right back. I said, give them this tip, will you?" She goes back and gives it to them, and they both look at me. And everybody that came and served at our table, I gave them all a tip. And there was supposed to be a corkage fee. We had a bottle of cheap wine that Vanslo gave us over here. Not really. And I said, the waitress says, "You know, there's supposed to be a corkage fee. We're not going to charge a corkage fee. We haven't seen anything like this. This is totally unique, what you two have done since you've been here. We never see this. There is no corkage fee. There won't be." She says, "Everyone in here, you've made everybody in here. They're all just can't believe what you're tipping everybody that comes and helps." And she says, and by the way, and you giving that tip to the making your orange roughy, you know, we used to have a deal here that you, when you left, you go to them and give them a tip for beer money. And I said, really? You used to do that? So after we paid, got up, and I went back to the guys there. I said, you know what? You guys look like you could use some beer money. Here, there's, you got beer money now. There you, oh, I mean, well, if you ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you realize that all that you have and all that you are is because of who and what God is. He blesses you and blesses you and blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. And because you see God's grace to you in your life, moment by moment, day by day, it becomes a reflection and manifested everywhere you go. That's what we have here and included in grace giving. All right, point four. The principle of grace giving is also related to two spiritual gifts of communication. The principle of grace giving is also related to two spiritual gifts of communication, pastor-teacher, poimen didaskalos, and evangelism. Subpoint one, the pastor must make an issue out of two things as a recipient of support from believers. The pastor must make an issue out of two things as a recipient of support from believers. And first of all, the grace gospel. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Grace gospel. And it's hard to find the grace gospel today. There's a lot of false gospels adding works to faith in Christ. There is no work you add to Christ. Jesus Christ did all the work. On the cross, Christ did all the work. You don't do any work. You place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He did all the work. And you simply believe. And the work he accomplished for you on the cross. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And secondly, to communicate the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. The pastor must make an issue out of those two things, the grace gospel and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. All right. Well, we haven't finished the doctrine of grace giving. Got a good start, though. We'll pick it up here next time, next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.